Friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers, welcome to Civilianization. I'm Joshua O'Brien, and I'm here with
Jose Treviso.
And this is where we're going to talk about being in the military and getting out, and has the VA helped you out, that kind of fun shit, and with the brotherhood that was in, and all that other fun stuff. So, Hazy, when did you go in the Navy? When did you go into the Army, man?
I went in 2003. October 2003. And then they got out October 2006, 3 year post 9/11 3 year contracts.
Cool. So like, what made you go in? I mean, what'd you do and shit?
I mean, I always wanted to be in the military, and then that thought kind of fell into the back burner. I was going to do college and try sports, but that wasn't really into college really. So I always wanted to be in the military, and then I just wanted to go all out with it, so I went 11 Bravo Infantry, Airborne, and signed up for RIP.
That's fucking badass, dude. Like, people don't understand, like, when you say, like, so you're Airborne Ranger?
Yeah.
And so what does that, I mean, if I was just a regular civilian, or a regular guy sitting on a boat in the Navy, what the fuck is an Airborne Ranger do? What kind of shit do you gotta go through to do that? That's pretty intense stuff,
so man. It used to be called RIP, it's called RASP now. It's a selection process. And it's just pretty much hell on earth for 6 weeks.
Well, define hell on earth.
Basically, just usual military training, a little more intense, but with a lot of mental games trying to make you quit. You know what I mean? Because there's like NCOs go through a thing called rope where they just do the events in the schools in the schedule.
Right.
Whereas RIP, you do the same events, but you're getting messed with the whole time. They're just. Their whole goal is to make you quit. You know what I mean? Just head games the whole 6 weeks.
I had a lot of friends of mine. They were SEALs. They were team guys, and then they go through the buds down in Coronado, and a lot of times they'll be carrying a log, or they'll be running, or it'll be a group of people holding a log over their head, or they're holding a raft over their head, and they're like,
"Yeah,
you're gonna fucking quit!" Like. Did at and they just keep screaming all these things to make you want to stop. I mean,
yeah.
Did any of that get to you? Or?
Yeah, well, the initial swim test I had a trouble with, because we had to do a 15-meter full kit swim. And the I never swam with weight on, and that was the first time I didn't train for it.
So full kit means, like, all body armor? Or?
Well, no body armor, but the load-bearing vest back in the day, and full canteen.
Full harness fucking thing?
Yeah, full water load, weapon, and ammo load. Anyway, well, you got and fatigue and BDUs and boots. Yeah. So, like, I didn't train for it. Like, you know, you're obviously, I was a 19-year-old kid, I didn't train. I just went and did it. And then they threw me in the water, and they're like, "You're not going to make it." they just grab you. They're like, "What are you smiling at?" Throw you in the water, and then the, like, dude's like, "Here, just grab the rope. You're going to quit. I know you are."
Just fucking reach out, bitch.
Just grab the rope. Reach out. I made it, though. Very difficult task, but I made it to 15 meters. 15 meters is a lot when you got all that weight on.
After all your training, where was your first duty station then?
RIP graduation, that morning of RIP graduation, they came out and told us Pat Tillman died. He was at 275, and then I ended up at 275 Fort Lewis as well. It was kind of weird. It was like, I didn't even know who Pat Tillman was at the time. They were like, "Pat Tillman's dead." I'm like, "Who's Pat Tillman?" And then I remembered who he was because I hated him when he played for the Cardinals because I'm a Cowboy fan.
Yeah,
I love the Cowboys. I was like, "Oh, that guy." And then and I was like, "All right, well, he's pretty cool now, but it sucks that he died anyway." But then I ended up at Fort Lewis, ACO 275, same unit.
Oh, same unit Tillman was in.
Yeah, it's a different platoon, but same company.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's basically like saying, "Hey, I worked in the same building at Whirlpool, just not on the same assembly line, just one four rows down."
Yeah, yeah.
That's where, like, people don't understand.
Yeah.
The civilians don't get it. It's like, no, dude, we weren't together all the time, but we were in the same, you know, same company, basically.
I met his brother on a EIB expert infantry lane, training up on taking apart and putting together pistols. Because every EIB expert infantry is like his training thing. It lasts like a month, and every specific thing in the infantry repertoire, I guess you can land nav,
right.
Call for fires, taking apart weapons, putting them back together. He was the pistol, we called the pistol lane. Sure. Yeah.
So his brother was Army as well. So
he was a Ranger as well. Oh, he was in the same company, but he was like, by the time I got, he was in the sniper platoon when I was there.
Right.
Yeah, he was all bearded up.
That reminds me of the Operation Red Wings fucking...
Oh, that
Marcus Luttrell. Luttrell.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Luttrell's brother, they're both SEALs, you know?
So. Yeah, Red Wings, we were in Missoula when Red Wings went down.
Really?
Our squad leader walks in the room, he's like, hey, some helicopter got knocked down with some Navy SEALs. That's all I knew at the time.
Right.
Charlie Company is going in to pull them out, and they're walking 60 miles. And I'm like, what? Charlie Company took a helicopter, couldn't go all the way to the objective because they had already lost two birds.
Yeah.
They didn't want to lose another one, so they dropped them off 60 miles out and had to walk through the mountains. And then they ran out of water, so they hydrated with IVs.
Oh, yeah, dude. I remember, like, several times I used to work at the Ventura Theater, and we'd party all night. And the next day, before work, we were trying to do, like, because we had PT and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
We were hydrating with IV bags because HM3, which is a hospital corpsman, third class, like, he was the one with the bags, dude. We were fucking hydrating right before that, man. Yeah, so you're part of Operation Whalers then?
No. I was in Missoula.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's Charlie Company 275.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, because you have Red Wings. And then the guys that came in after that were Whalers, you know, because it was all like all hockey names, back you know, during that shit.
It was just a rescue op from a different company. We were kicking down doors in Iraq.
So we're like, what part of Iraq were you at?
Mosul.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you said that, but I mean, was like any other places around there or that?
We were hitting everything around that whole AO. We were just. Right. Flying, helicoptering in, or driving to places.
Okay, I think a lot of times I'd say I was in Fallujah, but realistically, my shit was in Fallujah. I never really see my shit often. Yeah. We were like bouncing between Al Assad, Ramadi, and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
And God bless the convoy guys. I had a lot of friends that were the convoy guys, and they did that 24/7.
Yeah.
I was just a fucking welder. I did construction. I disappear with a couple team guys. I'd do some shit somewhere. Yeah. And I'd come back, and, you know, that's it, man. So, like, how many deployments did you do?
Three.
Oh, shit. Like, all Iraq then, or?
One to Afghanistan, two to Iraq.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was you said kicking in doors. What other, anything else you did while you were there?
It's pretty much the broad, the whole scene of operations was just raiding houses and all night. I mean, if we weren't doing that, we were training. If we weren't doing that, we were sleeping.
Yeah, train like you fight like you train, man. That way, the more you sweat in training, the less you bleed in war. As they say, second deployment, it's so true, man.
Second deployment was a pain in the ass because we were just you still have to, on top of your missions, you still have to pull guard.
Yeah,
at the gate and at the every unit has a tower they have to pull guard at, and it's only the privates that have to pull guard, and I was a private, so like. On top of all the missions, and then you have to pull guard, so it's like sleep is just like, jeez. And then you get woken up sometimes for pop-up missions. It's a little nutty.
So, like, look, could you define, like, say, like, just walk through somebody that's never been through this shit. Like, so you're fucking spinning up, you're getting shit ready to go, what do you got to do?
Check the vehicles, make sure the vehicles are good. Wait for your squad leader to get done with the op order, and then he's going to come out and give you the squad an op order. He's going to tell you who the target is, all that stuff, and then you just go out and do just basically everything you've been training for, and you don't really think about it. You just go either blow down the gate, run to the door, kick the door in, or put a charge on the door, blow that in, run in, and start hog, like, zip-tying everybody in the house. And a lot of the times, dudes get shot. If we're not just zip time people, we're shooting people, and only if they're trying to like shoot us.
Yeah,
we're a good unit. Like our unit's the shit. Like there's rarely a case where we like kill civilians because we go in there and we're like really precision unit. So like usually we just hog tie. We'll beat the shit out of everybody, but. I mean, nobody's going
to
get killed.
But at the same
time,
you're trying to make sure that, you know, you get the right person.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The second you kill the wrong guy, then you just created 50 fucking terrorists.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of people, they don't realize how much training that goes on before a fucking mission. They just think it's a bunch of, high school kids just kicking in doors and grabbing people and getting the fuck out, you know, and that's a bad perception.
Well,
A lot of it is that.
A lot of it is that.
Yeah, but I mean, you at least know what the fuck you're doing.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
We were good at our job. Like, we were great at our job. Like, we're the greatest in the world at that.
Shit.
As just fast and just bam, 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 and it's just... Because Rangers, we got the we're the pups of special operations, you know what I mean? Like, we're... A squad leader in Ranger Battalion is, like, 23. A platoon sergeant is, like, 27 to 29.
Right.
And then you got 18-year-old privates, whereas opposed to a Delta Force team, they're all late 20s to early 40s.
Yeah, those are the guys that have been around a little bit. Yeah. So, you know, Rangers lead the way.
Well, yeah, we do. I mean, we are the little, just go here, go fuck all that up, and then we'll go do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's just, it's control chaos, really. That's what it is.
So, you ever regret it?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't want to do it again.
Right.
As far as, I like comedy. I like doing comedy, and that's what I love. And I didn't love being a Ranger, but I'm proud of it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
It's just, you gotta love it. Like, you know, like my squad leader, he loved it. He was all of it. He was to the bone, loved being a Ranger. And I admire that, but
it's not for everybody, it's not for dude. Me. Yeah,
it wasn't
you know?
For me, and I had to check out and go find other. But it's hard when you get out, because even if you don't like it, when you're in, when you get out, you really miss it. Like you're like, man,
yeah, it's
you're
the
just,
family.
Yeah,
thing.
You're just out. You're just put into this situation when you're in the military, or everybody, not everybody. I'm not victimizing myself. Everybody is, and you get. It's so everything's so high tense, and everything's really. Hardcore to the extreme of everything.
Yeah.
And then you get out and it's just this normalcy. And then you can't handle the normalcy. It's just like you're just floating.
Yeah, I find I'm having trouble with... And I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, no, go ahead.
But I didn't know if I was or not. But I'm having trouble with... Because I just, you know, recently been out. There isn't enough intensity. As in, like, I had a full schedule. I would fucking do... I would go to work. I'd teach classes. And then after that, I'd have about, like, 3 hours, and I'd go take a nap, and I'd do a hit a room. You know,
yeah,
comedy.
Yeah.
And then I'd fucking, you know, one, two, room, whatever. This is when I was in Virginia.
Yeah.
And then the next day, rinse, repeat every single day. I had a bazillion things, and sometimes I'd go do training exercises, and then we'd come back. But it was all the time. And then now it's like, and then people have all this, now it's like, you know, just nothing.
Yeah.
That's weird. And then the urgency people have for irrelevant shit. As you know, because nobody's shooting at you, but everybody's like really intense about dumb things.
Yeah,
you know that's another thing kind of gets to me, man.
Yeah, it's just and I don't like jumping out of airplanes and risking getting shot at, right?
Right.
But my brain does.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. My brain needs that. I don't want to do that. I'm not gonna go volunteer to do that again.
Yeah.
But my brain's like, dude, we got to do something, and then I end up drinking too much or doing too much of something, you know what I mean? And it's just...
Well, what was some of the hard transitional things then? From when you went from the military to being a civilian?
Accepting the fact that I was no longer in the military and, like, I guess I would say deprogramming myself, really, right. You know what I mean? Back to... Because it's a totally different... They're totally different worlds, obviously. I mean, everybody knows that, but... It's hard. I mean, the hardest thing was just to be stay motivated. It's hard. I get in these funks, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
I get in these bad funks that I can't get out of, and I just stay in it, and then I get really out of shape, and it just compounds on itself, you know.
And that what we were talking about earlier, and I'll bring it up now again too, is just like I gained a lot of weight. I don't have any motivation whatsoever to go to the gym.
Yeah.
You know, to work out, to make myself fit.
Yeah.
I feel like a complete piece of shit, like, all the time.
I feel you.
Do you go through that, too?
Yeah, like, all the time, man. It's hard, because you know that you can. A lot of it is because you know what you can do, and you're just not doing it. You
right.
know what I mean?
That's funny, too, because can do is the slogan of the Seabees. So, yeah, and it's like, there's so many things I can do, and I don't.
Yeah.
And, like, I will go an entire day and not get out of bed. I'll fucking...
I'll hit
Netflix, and I'll just, like, on my laptop, and I'll have the laptop in bed next to me, like, you know, and...
What's up?
I'll shut this. That's cool. Yeah. So then, I'll have, like... So I have Netflix, like, right next to me, and that's where... I'll do this because I'll see this huge spike and I'll know where I edit that. Oh, okay. I'll edit that door shut thing. But yeah, I'll take my laptop and just cue some Netflix and I'll watch something I haven't seen since like, I was a little kid, like Airwolf or something. I'll be like, oh, I love this show, or fucking Battlestar Galactica. What's the big deal on this?
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, I'm like season three of some irrelevant bullshit television show.
Yeah.
And sorry if you're a Battlestar Galactica fan. It was a good series. I was just calling an irrelevant piece of shit. My apologies to you. But, yeah, and then you just go down these rabbit holes. And then next thing you know, you're, like, trying to get back on track, you know? And I think one of the biggest things killed me was this last deployment to Okinawa. I come back, and it's like, the motivation's just fucking shit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, being a civilian, what have you done or are you doing to keep yourself from that funk, man? Are you going to any groups or...
I've done groups. I've even done inpatient treatment, which actually helped me a lot. And I got lucky. I didn't get into it. There was a point, I'd say like a year to 2 years when I got out, where I was in a horrible place mentally and emotionally and socially. Everything was just a nightmare. And I didn't go seek help. I just kind of muscled through it and never really got out of it. I was always just kind of like, whatever. But when I went to this inpatient, because I moved to LA, and I didn't have much money, so I went to the VA. I was like, hey, man, I don't know what to do. So like, well, we got the domiciliary.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what is this? Well, it's kind of like a college dorm / rehab kind of deal. And what it is, it's kind of like college because, like, it's college for PTSD, so you learn what PTSD is.
Okay.
And you can't really get better until you know what it is that's holding you back. So if you don't know what PTSD is, there's no way to get past it. If you're just sitting there dealing with it and on your own without other veterans that are going through the same thing and being taught what it is that's going on chemically in your brain that's making you feel the way you are. It's almost, I don't think I would ever know how to get out of the funks I am if I didn't go to the Dom. We call it the Dom.
Yeah.
So you can, you go to the Dom, you can essentially take a break from life. So if you're in a, if you find yourself in a point of crisis where you're hopeless and you're depressed and you're in this hole you can't get out of and it just keeps compounding on you, you can go to the Dom, completely decompress yourself and just sit there and breathe and take it all in. You know what I mean? Get away, because it's a sober living too, so a lot of it is, I drink and stuff and smoke weed, whatever, but like,
That's the one where they piss test you and stuff like that?
Yeah, but I'm not against it because I think there's a time where you just have to stay away from all substances and just focus on what's going on.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to absorb things that are going on. You know, and I'm not saying I'm against alcohol or weed or anything like that, but there's a time where you need to focus on what the fuck is going on. Yeah. And that's basically like, you know, you take painkillers to hurt fucking sore wounds, you know what I'm saying? And then your sore wound is life, and alcohol and weed are a good painkiller for the life, for life's bullshit, you know? And that's kind
of too much of everything, though. You know what I mean? Too much painkillers or too much and too much of anything is bad for you, you know? But you just have to find a Dom if you're really in a tough place, like a crisis. Like, I don't feel myself in a crisis right now. I mean, I'm in these funks, but I mean, like, crisis, like, you're considering suicide.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, find a place where you can go live at for a few weeks, a month or whatever, 2 months, and just do their program, and then just meet other veterans. A lot of it is isolation. So when you're alone, and you think you're the only one, and you just make yourself feel like even more of a piece of shit, because you're thinking, like, oh, man, I was with this unit of, you know, CBs building freaking houses in 5 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And now you're
isolated from all by yourself, but all your buddies that are out are all in their own little isolation pockets, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Having trouble. So that's the big thing is not reaching out and just taking it all alone, because, I mean...
Yeah, it's kind of actually hitting close to home what you're saying, because that's kind of thing I've been going through too, you know, because... And the funny thing is, though, is when you reach out and you hit some of these other people up, you feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
You know, like, I went to Port Hueneme. I helped a couple guys at my old platoon. I helped them study for the exam coming up and shit like that. And I made me feel fucking great.
Yeah.
And then a couple, like, just hours later, I'm away from it again. And I'm like,
Yeah.
I'm alone. Nobody loves me.
Yeah, exactly.
And you don't want to sound like a little bitch, but at the same time, you kind of feel that way because you are feeling like a little bitch.
Yeah, you're right. I feel like a total dirtbag piece of shit a lot of the time, and it's hard to break out of that, and especially when there's not other veterans. Or a lot of, and sometimes I just don't want to talk about the Army too much.
Yeah.
And then, like, sometimes I got to get away from some veterans because that's all they want to talk about.
Yeah, like, yeah, dude. Like,
for the point of this podcast and the subject matter, it's great. But a lot of the times, just in life, I'm like, a little bit of talk, but it's just like all the time.
And I totally feel you, man. And then I never want to disrespect anybody that says thank you for your service, but sometimes I'm like, I don't want to mention that I was in because I know that's the next thing somebody's going to say.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, no, I mean, thank you for paying taxes.
Yeah.
And it's not to be an asshole, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I notice I feel better when I don't talk about it. I mean, there's that thing, you just doesn't talk about it, which is because it's like too much there that you can't get to all of it in a conversation. And you can't put all that into one. It's like you're pushing out too much information, and it's too much energy, and I'd rather just not even.
Well, the whole thing is the misconceptions of what we've done.
Yeah.
Like it's all hut. Yeah. Everybody lives in one big room, like Full Metal Jacket, and that's what people's perceptions really are of us.
Yeah.
That we're all Neanderthals, and we kind of are. But
at
the same time, but they don't understand. Yeah. There's a bazillion different classes and all this other bullshit that goes into it. But I appreciate you doing this because one of my biggest points is so that people understand. You know, it's mostly for the veteran out there that's like, hey, you're not alone, man. You know, like one of my best friends, Sean Michael Malik, he was a comic. He was Air Force, so I won't hold that against him. But he was an Air Force gunner, right, for a convoy security team. And, he was driving around, like, Iraq a lot and stuff like that. And, and he killed himself. And the thing was, he was a comic, and he was, like, one of the very only comics, really, I could talk to because we were in a lot of the same places, just at different times. So we could relate. And, when you talk to a vet about different places you've been to, you don't get the, aw, and all that other bullshit. You're like, oh, yeah, man, it's fucked up, So, you get the fun shit. I mean, was there any shit that you've seen that kind of, it was like, hilarious but shouldn't be funny?
Operationally? Or just hanging out operationally? There's a lot of hilarious. One time, I had one of my friends in my team. We were going up to the roof of a house, and we all got to the top of it. So in Iraq, the buildings, none of them are to code.
Absolutely not.
They just get, a family gets material, and then they put up their house.
Yes.
Nobody from the city comes to check code. They just put up the house. So everything's weird, and we're running up a staircase to the top of the roof, and the staircase ends, and you have to turn, but at the end of that staircase is just bam, down the other side of the building.
Yeah.
I think he fell two stories, but he fell right next to a piece of rebar sticking out of the ground.
Oh, shit. And this is one of your dudes?
Yeah, he fell like 5 feet next to it. He's like, I'm fine.
Oh, dude.
And well, I returned. I was like, where did Schladel go?
In Fallujah, we had like a little camp that we lived on, and we called it Camp Knot, and it was actually, sad story, it's named after a buddy of mine, but anyways, there was a wall where we used to back up all our heavy equipment, and and the thing is speaking of not to code, barely fucking tapped it. The wall falls down. The Alpha Company lieutenant, Alpha's being our equipment, we call it Alpha Company, you guys call it a motor pool. The lieutenant freaked the fuck out. It was like, how'd you knock down a whole wall? I'm like, dude, it's like just there. It's not, like people just stack bricks on shit and they expect it to stay forever.
Freaking. Yeah, it's it. I always like thought Mosul, because Mosul's a huge city. It's like the second biggest city in Iraq. Because I lived it right by El Paso, Texas.
Yeah.
Like 40 minutes from there. And I lived in New Mexico. That's where I grew up. But we would go to the dentist in Juarez when I was a little kid. And then driving around Mosul, I'm like, man, this looks like Juarez, dude. We're about to go to the dentist or something? What's going on?
No, it's funny you say that because I used to joke about it being Bakersfield.
Yeah.
This is fucking Bakersfield, man. Yeah. Because a lot of people don't realize there's a lot, actually some growth. You know, there's actually some greenery, a little bit, not a whole lot around that place, man.
Shit, but Wadis did turn into Iraq for a little while there. Drug war. It was like, what, 2011, 2010?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, like, well, when you got back, and then I know we're bouncing around a lot.
Yeah.
Sorry, listeners. But when you got back, and you said you're back to the Dom Distillery thing. Sorry, man. How did you find that out, or how did you get involved with that? Or?
So I moved to L.A. 4 years ago, and I didn't have much money on me. I didn't have any housing situation. Pretty much practically homeless. And then, well, I showed up directly there, so it's not like I was on the street or anything. I went straight there, and I was like, told them my situation, and they're like, well, you can stay at the Dom. And I was like, all right, cool. So I ended up doing that program for, I didn't really take it seriously, because I was just using it as a lily pad to jump to something else, to, you know what I mean? But I did still absorb a lot, because you have to go to the classes, and I learned a lot, and it helps. I didn't finish the program, but everything I did, I could imagine how much better I would be if I did finish the program.
Right.
But I learned a lot. I actually went twice. The second time I did a program too. And it's good. It's good. They stress sobriety hardcore. And I just think when you put that much pressure on sobriety, I feel more of a piece of shit when I do have a drink. And it even further into it. So, but you still learn a lot. I mean, that's pretty much how I got into it.
There's a lot of people that think that if you have a drink or you smoke a little bit of weed or whatever, you're automatically an addict. You know, I think it's kind of the drinking, and then the people, those guys are the ones that are addicts that make everybody feel bad about it. I mean, I don't drink or smoke, but at the same time, there's no reason for me to fucking push the way I live on somebody else, man.
I mean, the drinking can be a slippery slope, though. It can get too much, and then, drinking's a depressant, too, so, like, somehow I would just wake up depressed as shit after a night of drinking, and then it just kind of compounds the issue. And I know, so I recognize where I'm at because, okay, well, I was drinking last night, now I'm depressed.
Yeah.
Okay, but so I'll just drink some water, go work out, I'll be fine.
Right.
But a lot of, especially veterans that are suffering with PTSD, don't know that's what's making them depressed, so they put more alcohol on top of it.
Yeah, they hear the dog that bit
deeper and deeper, not even knowing that that's what is digging them in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, that makes perfect sense, man.
Yeah.
You know, so when you went through, did you go through another VA rating board after you went through the domiciliary, or did you do the VA thing before that, or?
Well, the Dom helped me with that, too. So the Dom will help you put your, get your disability claims in. I would recommend to you out there, anybody listening, to go to the DAV and file a power of attorney.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I would do first. If you're on the process, if you're going to start the process right now, go to the DAV, do a power of attorney. Then make sure that the VA and the DAV, because they're two separate entities, they're two separate organizations, have all your contact information the same. Because I got lost in the system one time because the DAV had an address for me and the VA had a different address for me. And I missed a bunch of appointments that way.
Oh, gotcha.
So make sure
went to, like, New Mexico.
Yeah, because if you miss an appointment, it sets you all the way back.
Right.
So you got to make sure that you have all your contact info updated with both of them.
So, like, I didn't go through anybody, man. I'm glad you're saying this, but, I mean, even my personal benefit, because I didn't go through DAB, I didn't go through anything. I just filed everything through Port Hueneme. The guys there who work out of Wilshire, I think, one of these ones down here.
Yeah, Wilshire, that's the one.
And then they work out of the one of these down here, and then they sent me to, I had to do a thing here in Culver City. I had to do a thing in fucking, in like two other places, one in Santa Barbara. It was crazy, you know, and I had to bounce around because Lockheed Martin is a subcontractor for the VA right now because they're doing all the initial screenings. And, yeah, man, some people are saying get an advocate. I'm like, I don't know how the fuck to do that. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, well, the DAV will advocate for you. So that's what, that's exactly what it is. They're an advocate organization, and they'll push for all your appointments and everything that you need.
What's the DAV mean?
Disabled American Veterans.
Okay, cool. And they're at the domiciliary then? Or?
They're at the federal. If you're in LA, they're at the federal building. If you're not in LA, just look them up. But he
probably every fucking county. Yeah, they're all probably got yeah. one. I'm sure, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But if you're here in LA, federal building in West LA, and by the VA hospital, it's right next door to it.
So, what got you into doing comedy then, man?
I like it. It's fun. I just a lot of it. I mean, a lot of it was the whole not having a purpose in life after the Army. A lot of it was like, damn, I'm not doing anything. I didn't really like college. I liked it a little bit, but I'm just not a school person. I finished eventually, but
yeah,
it was a nightmare. Anyway, but I just like it, man. I always kind of been a little goofy bastard, and I always like watching comedy because I had an older brother that. Would just watch all the, you know, Letterman and everything, and he kind of unknowingly introduced me to comedy just because he was always watching comedy, and I was just watching it with him, and I was like, man, this is cool. Then I just always watching, you know, George Carlin special, like, yeah, I never wanted a special to end. I was like, oh, he's gonna, damn it, he ended. Fuck, man, maybe he'll come back out. You know what I mean?
He did it like every year or two. Yeah. That guy was a fucking machine, and I know Louis's trying to do that, and I remember Ari Shaffir, he was trying to do that too. Dude, the last time I fucking got written up in the military was for handing out Ari Shaffir CDs. Like, all right, so...
They wrote you up?
Yeah, dude.
Just so for handing them out or selling them?
No, handing them out.
Really?
Yeah, no, like, I had a whole box of them, right? Well, two boxes. I got a fucking Sean Halpin hits me up, and it's fine. I talked about part of this in the last time with Sean, but I had two boxes, right? One was I gave to a chaplain... And he sent it to Okinawa. So there's a group of chaplains with Fear Revenge of the Holocaust probably getting shuffled around all over Okinawa. Thank God. And then the second box, I was actually handing out to a couple different troops I knew liked comedy.
Yeah.
And were, you know, but I handed one to my ops, one of the ops chiefs. And I was like, yeah, I'm just giving these out to the troops. And he looked at it. And he's like, oh, cool, thanks, man. And he looked at it, and you see, like, Rape Crouch and all these other, you know, because he wrote down basically, like, how our set lists look.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's basically what the back of this fucking CD looks like. So I get back, and there's, like, a four-page fucking thing, six-page, actually. Two of it was the actual council and shit, and then there's four different things that were copied from the CD and highlighted and all this other shit. And, yeah, I had to sit down and hear about, you know, we can't have this stuff. And it was, like, all these other things, and the dude was, like, listing off each one. Like, this is bad, this is bad. Oh, fuck the Lakers. That's kind of funny, though, but I shouldn't say that right now. And they listed off all these things. I'm like, fuck, are you kidding me, dude?
So, like, when comics go on USO tours, do they get told, like, what you can and can't
talk about? They get told that you can't talk about all this other shit, and half the time they don't care, and they still do it anyway.
Yeah.
And then it's just, like, everybody has a good time, and then you move on. But, yeah, that's really what I want to do. I want to get on USO tours. I think that'd be fucking fun, you know? Go back. Because that's the thing, too. That's one of the reasons, like... I never really feel like I'm done. You know, like, you're never out of the fight is like always been, like, one of the slogans for all of us. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah. It's weird. It's been almost 10 years since I've been out, and I still feel like I should be in it. You know what I mean? Like,
is it 10 years, like, you still feel that way?
Yeah, yeah. I got out in 2006.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm still, like, it's everything's right there, fresh in my memory. I mean, all the missions are all... bunched together in a blur of memories, but
right, you know, all. But it's still like, I mean, like tomorrow you could fucking clear a house, dude, you know.
Yeah, I'm a enter clear room subject matter expert. Oh, dude,
my kiddo, she's 14 now, she was like, I think 4 or 5. I was going through this training and shit like that for convoy security, and then also how to clear a house and shit like that. So I was coming home, and then like I had a fuck ton of chem lights in my bag, glow sticks for the non-military people.
Yeah.
I had a fuck ton of them things in my go bag, right? And it was funny, too, because I was like, she's like, oh, but can I have, you know, she's like, can I have these? I'm like, fuck yeah, have fun. So she's like, what do you use them for? And I was like, for dancing. No, I'm just kidding. We use them to clear rooms. So we're just joking around about having to clear in rooms.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, it'd be just like random. My daughter would run in the room. You'd see a glow stick just fly in the room, and you'd just hear, Womb Quill! Womb Quill!
You taught your daughter that.
And then And she was having fun with it, you know? So, boom, quail! That's and then funny. We'd have, like, the Ohio State-Michigan game. People would be hanging out at the house and shit, you know, because I grew up on the border, you know? So it was, like, always a big rivalry thing. And I got a lot of Ohio-Michigan friends I was stationed with in Port Hueneme, and she'd just run in there, boom, quail! And everybody would just laugh their ass off. That's it was funny. The cutest thing.
Yeah. That's fun, though. Like, other than the fact that you can get shot and killed.
Yeah.
Doing like, urban warfare training is, like, so much fun until you do it, like, a million times and you're tired of it. But other than that, it's cool. It's fun, man. It's what you look forward to when your infantry is, like, that.
Yeah.
They call it mount.
Mount training?
Military operations and urban terrain. And then you just, like, man, I can't wait till we get to mount. It's, like, the only thing everybody thinks about.
Yeah.
It's, like, the most dangerous form of warfare, though.
That's it, man. Yeah. And it's funny, too, because you got to stand all weird and shit. Like, you can't shoot properly, and, you know, because you're standing with your front fort facing everybody, because that's your body. That's where your body armor is, and, you know, you got to go through a whole other way to shoot.
Well, you do it so much. Yeah, you do it so much, and you just get muscle memory.
You guys do it so much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Didn't even think of that.
No, that's cool. Like,
that's why I like playing paintball now.
Yeah.
It's fun, dude. I love playing paintball.
You go right back into the fucking thing. And then, like, for us, that's extra. That's an extra thing for us. The mount training and all that. Because, you know, primarily, this is what happens. So, like, we'll say it'll be, like, MSR Mobile or Tampa or fucking Uranium or one of those main supply routes will blow up. And we're out there fixing it while you guys are fucking shooting shit and making sure that we can pour concrete. Well, you know, bullets are flying and we're pouring concrete and you guys are fucking them up. So that's always pretty fun.
Yeah. I have a friend that's a combat engineer. And he was like, dude, every time we get hit, I bet you anything it's because you guys went out and kidnapped some top dude and they're retaliating.
Yeah. It's not a fucking surprise.
You guys went out and stirred up a hornet's nest and then we got to deal with it.
Yeah.
It's like, sorry, man.
It's just a bunch of domino effects of retaliations, man. You know? Shit.
It's fun. That's why I love playing paintball, man. I get shot every time playing paintball because I'm always rushing.
Yeah.
I get bored if I just sit back.
Well, you're probably like when you're playing Battlefield or anything like that, you're probably screaming at people.
I can't play those games. Yeah. I just get so I'm like, oh man, I just can't. I like get frustrated because the dude's looking where I'm not. I don't want him. I'm like, dude, turn around. I can't.
Oh my!
And he turns around too much. I can't aim.
My favorite was like Modern Warfare came out like right after I got back from the desert too. Like, one of the deployments and. Listening to civilians play a game and they freak the fuck out. Whereas if this is real shit going on, it'd be like you and I would just be like, hey, we got one around the corner. All right. Yeah, I know. He just shot at me. He's a fucking piece of shit.
I can't play shooter games.
But and then like these guys are, they're right around the corner. Get in there. I'm like, dude, if you're really getting shot at, you'd probably be in this weird chill mode.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, you live in the Matrix when shit like that happens, kind of.
Nah. I'm a Madden assassin. That's my only game.
Also NHL 17. Well, NHL 16, 15, 14. 17 comes out in September this month. We're in September. Fuck yeah.
Madden 17 just came out.
Hell yeah.
That's fun.
Is there anything that you could probably put out there to help anybody out, any veterans or something like that? A good, like, I don't know, I don't want to say pep talk, but something that might benefit somebody that's been going through apparently the same funk you and I both went through.
Just reach out. That's really, I just got to repeat that. There's really, I mean, I would say go work out, do this, but I have a hard time motivating myself to do this.
Dude, look at my fat ass, dude. I'm telling you.
Like this 30 is fun. Pounds, like, bro. We were at the comedy store last night, and I was like, fuck yeah, I want to do that, because what am I going to do, just sit here and be depressed all day?
I'm glad you fucking, you know, because, I mean, this is, we're not even 24 hours from running into each other yesterday, and that was cool, because, but this is, for me, and I'm stepping on your question, but I think talking to other fucking vets, I feel like Kevin Smith, he'll ask a question and answer it himself.
Yeah.
I listen to him do that on his podcast.
No, but I mean, you're a veteran too, so your outlook is just as important.
It's like, when we hang, dude, that's like the, oh, I'm not alone, and I'm not going through this by myself. And like, once again, that's the point of this. You know, I mean, we can do this again. We can record again, fucking like a couple weeks, couple days, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just that whole, the connectivity that you have every day in a formation or quarters, whatever you want to call it, same thing, different branch. But that you don't have that anymore. Even though you used to bitch about it.
Yeah, I hated formation, shit, but I miss it. I miss that structure. I hated it. But I needed it. You know? Like, I need it now. But you can't, so you gotta deal with it.
Well, and then you walk up and you see those same familiar faces next to you. Yeah, those formations are
one of the things I miss the most.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Especially bitching about what happened next or who fucked who. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. There's always some formations when somebody got in trouble or something.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Like, dudes robbing banks and shit.
Oh, dude, do tell. Yeah, you were mentioning this about robbing banks. So instead of going to... Yeah, well, I'm fucking curious about bank robberies.
Let's just say there was a formation about it. Anyway. So, all right. So it's my last... I'm getting out of the army. Everybody signs out on leave, but I don't take my leave because I'm saving it up so I can get out on terminal leave, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
For those who don't know, terminal leave is saving up your leave days and getting out of the army earlier than your date. Okay, so anyway. So I don't sign out on leave. Everybody signs out on leave that day. I'm still there. And I'm in the gym working out, and the gym is under in Charlie Company's first floor basement, I guess you call it a basement. So since everybody's on leave, the only door open to Charlie Company is the back door at the gym to go into the CQ. Anyway, so
what's CQ?
Command and quarters. It's not the same in the Navy.
No. Oh, quarterdeck. Quarterdeck. Yeah.
So front desk. Yeah. So there's like MPs and
civilian front desk. Yeah, gotcha.
There's MPs and like dudes in suits coming in, like, you know, FBI and shit. I look out and there's unmarked cars, MP cars, and then there's a Tacoma police or Lakewood police civilian on the outside in the parking lot. And then I see the CEO, the commander of Charlie Company, come in. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Right.
So I was like, these guys look for real. I don't really know the commander from Charlie Company, so I don't ask shit. I just finish my workout because I have to take the key because I'm the only one in the gym, so I have to take the key back to staff duty at headquarters. And my friend's on staff duty. And I give him the key. I was like, dude, what's going on at Charlie Company? He's like, I can't tell you. He's like, what do you mean you can't tell me? You fucking just tell me what happened. He's like, dude, they told me if I tell you, they'll kick me out. They'll RFS me right now out of the RFS release for standards.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell you. They told me not to tell you. Anybody, I can't talk about it. And he's like, you'll probably find out tomorrow. I was like, all right, whatever. Sure enough, South Tacoma Way, Bank of America, 3 Army Rangers robbed Bank of America, and they were just like, wow, that's crazy. So back to formations. They're like, all right, formation. We had a formation for the whole deal, and the rear duty NCO is just laying into us about the whole deal. It's like, we didn't rob a bank. What are you talking about? Dude, we're not the one. Like, they're yelling at us like we did it. I was like, I don't even know these guys. They're in a different company, dude.
Oh, man. I always hate that. Like, I always hated that about the military. It's like, you get the backlash of some fucking asshole. Like, everybody in Okinawa hates the asshole that does dumb shit. Because there's always somebody that's, like, getting a DUI or doing something sexual and getting in trouble. Yeah. And it's some asshole. It's not you. But you guys are the ones that are not allowed to drink because the guy that was only there for 3 days decided to do dumb shit, man.
So we got to sit in this formation because 3 dudes are idiots.
Yeah, stand here and fucking, all right, goddamn it, 10 hut, parade rest, fuck my life, this sucks. You know, so. Well, hey, man, is there anything else you want to put out there to help anybody out or anything else? I mean, we'll definitely come back and record something like this again. You know, it's been fun.
There's nothing else to put out other than just reiterating the importance of reaching out to other veterans or organizations or find a group, hit up a local VA, find their groups. There's counselors. If you just need to talk to a counselor, there's a counselor you can just walk into any VA and talk to somebody. And if you're really having a hard time, man, go to groups. If you don't have time to go to the Dom, definitely go to the groups because they're out there. And if you have time, I would suggest doing a domiciliary stay. The Dom.
Gotcha, yeah. Check in and fucking...
Yeah.
So
if you're at a point of crisis, if yeah.
Right. And the thing is, too, I guess, is just the whole fucking stigma of reaching out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where we went through. We were all afraid about losing our careers. Yeah. You know, I mean, some like Sean, and I could list Jarman and a shit ton of other good people that were in my life that took their life because they didn't know to reach out. They didn't know to go to these fucking places like the domiciliary and, You know, so shout out to the Virginia Beach Funny Bone for doing sloth shows. Sean's last opportunity to help doing sloth shows to help create awareness for PTSD and shit like that.
Yeah.
But
I mean, if you're just a, like me and you, I think me and you are good functioning veterans that aren't really in a point of crisis. So like, if you're still in a funk like I am, like I'm probably gonna go to some groups soon. You know, because I find myself depressed and down still, you know what I mean? But
I feel like, I'll be honest, man, I feel like groups are like that girl I'm afraid to ask out right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think I probably should. It'd probably be better for me.
Yeah.
And I probably should, but I just don't have enough balls to talk to her yet, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like where I'm at. Like, I the more people I talk to, the more I realize that it's not a bad thing to do.
Yeah.
And I probably will end up fucking doing that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, helping's going through shit. Like, you're going through shit. A lot of people, you know. It's just, you know, we've seen a lot, dude. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to unsee it. It's impossible to unsee. You just gotta learn how to deal with it.
Yeah. Anything else, man?
Oh no, man. That's all I got. All
right, man. So, well, I guess we'll wrap this up, and I'll say my usual send off thing of.
Well, thank you first for having me,
dude. My pleasure. Oh, hey, man. On top of that, do you got anything you want to plug? I know you're doing t-shirts.
Oh, yeah, I got my Comedy Asylum thing. If you go to comedyasylum.club, got my t-shirts on there. Having a little issue with the PayPal, but that's going to be fixed within the next couple days. And then if you
what was that called? Comedy Asylum?
Comedyasylum.club.
Dot club.
Yeah,
like comedy the .com was dot taken. Club. Gotcha, yeah. Yeah, I kind of went with fuck yeah, motherfucker.com. Everything I wanted wasn't taken, and I typed in fuck yeah, motherfucker.
Yeah.
And it works. I was like, fuck yeah, motherfucker.com. Boom. We're there. Yeah. Shit, yeah. And I need fuck yeah, motherfucker.com t-shirts and CB shirts. We'll make some good shit.
You can find me on Twitter at Comic Treviso.
Fuck yeah. T-R-E-V-Z-I-O.
T-R-E-V-I-Z-O.
That sounds like me being fucking autistic and ADD. All right. So, cool, man. Yeah. And as usual, at Josh96OBRIEN on Twitter and all other fun shit. And you found me here. So tell a friend if you dig this. You think it'll help somebody else out, please fucking share it. I mean, we're not censoring it because we didn't fucking censor ourselves when we were in the foxhole, so I ain't going to fucking censor myself when I'm out of it. And for everybody I followed, thanks for making me a better leader. And for everybody that I've led, thanks for making me a better person. Much love and many thanks. And yeah, fuck yeah. Bye. We'll be right back.